Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner.
Well, what you got going for us, Auntie and Eke? Can I say that?
We'll talk about if we can say that or not on the podcast.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
But what's your corner? What you got going on for us?
Okay, so school is back in session.
Ooh,
kids entering college campuses across the nation. And I'm going to give you some tips on how to be a proper feminist activist.
Whoa, fantastic. Because kids got to learn, as we say here on the corner.
And they got to educate others as well.
Absolutely.
What about you? What are you talking about?
Well, Eke, I'm going to teach you how to become a purposeful millionaire with tips from James.
But is it you, James, or another James?
No, it's a different James. Don't get us confused, okay. Because he is also black, queer, and in his 30s, but it's James Nowlin has a book called The Purposeful Millionaire, and I'm doing a full book report review, and I'm going to share some of his tips that really got me going.
I love it. It's so good.
Certainly ain't me. I'm not a millionaire.
No, neither am I, but we are going to use those exactly. Using those tips to get us there.
Speaking of tips, we're also going to tell you how you can help out with Hurricane Harvey relief.
We are. There's that. And we're also throwing some shade at a couple of things. Taylor Swift, fidget spinners, and probably Pink, the artist.
Yep. Eke and James are coming at you. Wonder Twins activate. The library is open. Prepare to get read. We back. Have we got an episode for you all today?
Oh my God, I am ready to do this. James!
You are also ready. Eke, a little sidebar. Eke has been making fun of me on the off channels.
Well, let me explain.
Giggling at me, and I'm just trying to live my best life.
Well, first, you guys know that we did some chunks of recordings in New York, in California.
And across the globe.
And then last week, we recorded through the interwebs like we normally do, but I was in my car dying.
And a high five to Eke gets the high five of the week because Mama Eke, or what did we call you? Cousin Eke?
I'll be Auntie, whatever.
Auntie Eke, not to sidebar too much, but are you okay?
Sidebar.
I know, we're already on five different conversations at the beginning of the episode. But how do you feel about people calling Senator Maxine Waters Auntie Maxine? I have a question about that.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. It's not too mammy. She's not being everybody's mammy. That's not what that is.
I think that it comes from a term of endearment from black people because she is every black person's auntie who is going to set you straight. So I feel like I've only heard it from black people. So I feel like it's a term of endearment. If it was like mama stuff.
I think I saw a white person tweet here, my auntie Maxine.
Okay. They need
her time. Okay.
See, that was my question.
That was my question. And I'm pretty sure, and one of the white ladies on The View was like, Auntie Maxine is here. Okay. And so that's where I was like, do we all get to say this?
Or you know what it's become? It's become a jiggy with it. The jiggy with it disorder. So certain people say it. It's cool. Yeah. It's fun. And then everybody else takes it. And then it's not cool and fun anymore.
Well, now that we've got that settled, Auntie Eke. So and Auntie Eke
was going to say, I like Auntie because I'm a woman in her 30s. So I am not your daughter. I am not your cousin. But
Eke, not your mama.
Not your mama because I am too young to be a grown person's mother. So I'll be an auntie.
That catchphrase, you can't use that.
What, I'm too old to be a grown person's mother?
Well, you can use that. That one you can use. Can we please get that the new meme of Eke? I'm too grown to be an old person's mama.
Or too young. I'm too young to be a grown person's mama.
That one too. Get them both. But no, not your mama was, I thought you were going to use not your mama because that was taken from dinosaurs. So
what a fever dream of a show that was.
Pause in the action, dinosaurs. And was that family black?
Yes, obviously.
Okay. Except just checking.
It was like a mix between the Honeymooners and Family matters.
Family matters. I agree. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, yeah. winner. Somebody was doing acid, just seen Jurassic Park, and was like, yep. dinosaurs.
We need to that do show, a family sitcom with dinosaurs.
With dinosaurs. That show was bananas. And, like, spoiler alert, they die in the end.
Yeah, well, billions of years later. Well, dinosaurs that's true. Were around for a long time.
For a long time.
You always forget
time.
That. They're but around like, forever. They're
a long, long time. And that and the end, like the last episode, like the comet comes in and they like gather
Shut
around the
up.
TV. Yeah.
Really? The that's last depressing.
Episode, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. They did some episodes for the whole family. They did that one where like she wanted to grow her tail, but it was kind of
yes.
like an
It was like boobs.
Boobs, yeah. They did one about drugs. They did like the guy who is the his boss who worked in the construction site, yeah. he was kind of like a very much like a Donald Trump-esque guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
What the hell?
You can put them side to side, side by side. You're like, oh, that's our president. Haha.
Wait, James, I have to. I think you put the finger on one of my fears.
Dinosaurs?
And I think it stemmed
comets.
From dinosaurs. Yes.
Comets hitting.
I'm yeah. scared of comments. I'm scared of bombs. And I always yes. have this reoccurring nightmare that I'm going to have to watch it on television as it happens. And
sure.
I think it comes from dinosaurs.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I probably think about a bomb going off at least once a day.
But at least it doesn't come from the show Dinosaurs.
No, it probably comes from like the, we're taking just a really dark
real,
twist from.
Real fears.
Probably
real.
Comes from like the Oklahoma bombing. But you know, we need to talk yeah. about this stuff. But you know what's important?
True.
We keep marching on Aneka. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I want to say to all of our listeners who are in Texas, our hearts are with you.
Yes. Oh my God. Houston. We are with you. You can donate to Houston through Red Cross if you text, I think it's 99 to Red Cross. You could donate money.
Even though I'm kind of side-eyeing the Red Cross.
It's
but,
true.
You know, they're the best we've got. We got nothing else better.
They are.
That's their tagline, the Red Cross. Ain't nothing else better.
I think that there is other things that people can do. I'm just pulling it up real quick because
Pull
I have a friend
up. Pull it
who
up.
Is in Texas right Ooh, now.
Okay.
So it is if you text REDCROSS, you text that word Red Cross to 90999, you donate $10 to the Red Cross. So that's one thing. Another thing is just to, you know, if you know somebody, if you know people in Texas, they're collecting food, money, blankets, shelters, all of that.
What I do love about this is that, like, well, no, I don't love any of this. This is all fucking terrible.
It's terrible.
But one of the things that, like, I do appreciate is in these times of, it's sad that it takes times of great tragedy for us to come together, but folks do. And, like, you know, 30,000 people are still in need of shelter right now. And I really... It makes me proud to be a human being when I see people really try, like,
helping each other out.
Like, all the other bullshit and stuff that we get caught in the day to day, like, all that fucking dissipates when it's like, holy fuck, I need to go help my neighbor or these people down there in Houston. So
it's so true. Okay, I have a list.
Okay.
Crowdfunding site Global Giving, they're attempting to raise $2 million to support local relief. Airbnb, we got to give them props.
Wow.
They launched a site which is helping people find places to stay.
Wow.
United Way of Greater Houston has set up a relief fund. For all the animals, you could donate to the SPCA of Texas, Austin Pets Alive, and San Antonio Humane Society. Also, the Houston Humane Society is available, but they have limited staff, obviously. So you could donate to those causes because there's a lot of animals that are out there. Kevin Hart is going out
Wow.
there to help Harvey victims. And then there's the Texas Diaper Bank, Dice Cole Children's Hospital in Corpus Christi, and the Salvation Army. So
fantastic. Lots of ways to get involved and to help out down there in Houston.
Yeah.
And for any of our listeners, let us know how you're doing. Tweet, like, anything
yes.
that folks can do because you're there on the ground.
Yes.
So definitely in the Corner Kids Club. I keep calling it the Corner Kids Club.
Playhouse.
I don't think it's a playground, Missy, Auntie.
Oh, oops.
Auntie Neke.
Oops.
It ain't no playhouse. It is a playground. Like, you nothing is worse like you knew
than
better.
when you try to correct somebody and you're wrong.
And you said it with all the conviction.
I know. It was
a playhouse.
And you were like, no, you're wrong, too.
You know, you said something that was very interesting. So Kevin Hart got involved, and I love seeing it when celebrities get involved in positive things. And
yeah,
on the opposite side of that, I hate it when celebrities just get caught up in their own bullshit.
Yes. Yes, you know, I think I know what you're circling around right now.
Who am I talking about?
Miss T Swift.
Okay, can I pause in the action? Aneke, I had no idea what was going down. It is like you never forget. Like, there's certain moments when, like, you never forget. So I don't liken this to the earthquake or something. When Michael Jackson died, I know exactly where I was. I was on a cruise ship about to host karaoke. And when Taylor Swift's music video or new song dropped, I know exactly what I was doing. Because Aneke texted me a firestorm of outrage. When the new song dropped. Why? Tell them. I already know.
You ready? Yes. I don't know if the audience is ready for this heat.
Hold on to your butts, because Aneke is not happy. Auntie Aneke, not happy with Miss Taylor Swift.
Okay, let me just get my edges correct, because I'm about to take Taylor's off right now.
I am here for this.
Okay, one. The song is called Look What You Made Me Do, which in itself is taking herself out of the blame. It is like, look what you made me do. No, you did it yourself, fucking Taylor Swift.
See what you made me do. That's like with me
at
dinner with Aneke, like throwing all the food off the table and then staring at her and being like, Aneke,
look
what
you made
me
do. Already the title is like
babies do that.
Calm your ass.
I think that Baby and Dinosaurs did that as well, after saying not your mama or whatever.
And then said, look what you made me do.
Yes. And threw poop at the dad or something.
That's what Taylor Swift,
she's literally throwing poop and saying, look what you made me do.
So that's just the title alone. So I'm going to just go down the line of it, because I have to, because there's a lot. And there's been a lot more since we talked before.
And the library is open, and who better to do the reading than a librarian?
It is true. Your local librarian is here. Okay, so, the song Look What You Made Me Do, it is basically all about the Kanye and Kim Kardashian fucking bullshit that went down, where she got caught in her lie, saying, where she was like, oh, Kanye said some gross shit about me in a song, and how dare he? But then Kim Kardashian, even though I don't like any of these people, but Kim Kardashian threw a baller-ass move and was like, no, here's a recording of you saying that you said it was all right.
She Linda tripped it. She played an old school Linda Tripp playbook. And Kim Kardashian, if you were calling Kim Kardashian, she knows to record her phone calls.
She
I'm
knows.
Gonna start recording my
She's
phone
smart.
Call conversations.
I mean, we're basically doing this with the podcast
true.
Right now.
That way, Aneke, if you ever come at me, I'm gonna play the tape.
I know. And then I'll be like, you're right. And that's where it should have ended. That is where it legit should have ended.
Yeah, it should have.
Okay. So all of these fans, her Swifties, went on to
Wait, hold on. Yeah. That's their names?
Yeah.
Ugh. Beehive, go take care of that. Britney
know,
Army,
to,
let
know,
us march to the
to,
streets. Rhythm Nation, let's go to work.
So, okay, the Crickets, Sierra's Crickets.
Okay, all right, well.
Okay, all right. Okay,
it's literally like a Lion King, like Sahara of
I
all
know.
These like pop diva groups, the little
Groupies.
Monsters.
I know, yeah, exactly.
Go attack the Swifties. That's the just when I thought the Crickets were the worst, the Swifties, it gets worse.
It gets worse. Okay, so. That's where it should have ended. And so a lot of like Kim's fans went on to Taylor Swift's page and put a lot of snake emojis and blah, blah, blah. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because now she's appropriating snakes. She's like, look what you made me do. I'm going to be a fucking villain now. And I'm taking these snakes. And this whole song is about Kanye West. So the song is like literally like, fuck you, everybody that has done me wrong. My reputation is dead because of you guys. No, because you did it yourself, Taylor Swift. So... here's the thing. She uses fucking Peaches. She uses a Peaches song that I fucking love, and it pisses me off that she uses it. Mm-hmm. And even more petty, this is just like a petty parade. She uses the song. So Katy Perry called her a Regina George in Sheep's Clothing, which is a reference to Mean Girls.
Yeah.
That song is playing in the background when Regina George fucking... throws some shade or whatever in Mean Girls.
At the Halloween party. Exactly. Never forget. At the Halloween party when she goes to Lindsay Lohan at her highest mm-hmm. point.
It's true.
Throws some shade there. Yeah. It's all downhill from there.
So that's petty. So all of that's done with, and I'm like, bullshit, you need to take some responsibility and get over yourself. You're a rich white woman. You're living a good life. Like, yeah. Calm down.
Yeah.
Okay, so on top of all of that, she has the nerve to create a video where she's trying to be tongue-in-cheek, but honestly, it's just real petty. It's her being like, so she takes a stab at the phone call conversation that was recorded because she has herself being recorded and saying like Taylor Swift is dead, which is just like a 15-year-old thing to say. Mm-hmm. She has our man Todrick Hall up in there, and yeah. Todrick, I'm done with you.
I mean, I try to lift up all my other fellow queer black artists and performers. And
yes, Todrick Hall just talking about Todrick Hall.
Dude, we were like singing his praises. And then I understand money is great and fame is good, but it's like, you've got to be able to stand up for something. And like, Taylor Swift is just so, she is in the words of Vanity Six, she is a BW.
A basic woman.
And can we give all the praise to Vanity Six back in the 80s was already calling bitches basic.
It's
already
so true.
Doing it.
They're pioneers. Pioneers in shade.
Ahead of their time.
So anyways, long story short, she basically is not being a good villain because she's not fully committing to being a villain. She is...
And also, isn't the video looking like sorry to just jump in there, but like, isn't she also kind of looking like she stole like... It's like
Beyonce's Formation.
Formation, which was such like a beautiful black female anthem. Right. And she's... And like, as if she's that wronged. Like,
your husband did not cheat on you after several years publicly.
Some people said some shit. You got caught up in a fucking lie.
Yes.
And people are calling you like what you really are and is apparently just like not a nice person.
Right. So it's like, give it a break. Calm down. Also, the video, I actually watched the video. It doesn't look that much like Formation, but it does. She does, I will say it, she uses queer black people as props. She just has them like quickly dancing behind her in high heels for like 2 seconds.
And I even saw on one of the Formations, excuse the word, I'm not trying to keep but I don't know a better way to put this.
Dance structure, I don't know.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve that word Formation. And that dance... No. Conglomerate that she created. She had like, I swear, in one image I saw, I didn't see the video, I'm avoiding like the plague, but she had the black people on one side and like the more fair skin on another side.
She literally has them tone like it goes from darkest to lightest.
I guess she like organized them like her crayon box.
She does. And for some reason, if it was like a ball culture or a celebration of that or like actually produced by queer community, but the fact that it's Taylor Swift, who is like the epitome of a red state woman, to have these dancers in crop tops and high heels doing like not even showcasing them and her out in front just feels performative and gross to me.
Because I will say, and you all know I do not have any love for Katy Perry whatsoever, but at least Katy Perry stole her House Vogue ball beat, Swish Swish,
right.
And when she performed that on SNL, she brought, mm-hmm. The drag queens on there with her, and she stepped out of the way and let them dance and just stood over to the side. So it's like, it's so weird because it's like, I mean, and like, I guess like with given everything that's going on in the world right now, with like Charlottesville and the way that our country is, like Taylor fucking Swift, this is what you chose to do with your platform.
Amen.
Like, this is fucking privilege on a huge standpoint. I was just listening to even like the Fifth Harmony just dropped a new album, and they have an amazing song at the very end called Build Bridges, Not Walls. And it's beautiful.
See?
And
there
using
we
pop
go.
Music to do something like Katy Perry changed the rhythm. Like, you know, it's disappointing.
Use your platform instead of being butthurt. This is just a butthurt. Or I'm sorry, that's probably bad. I shouldn't say that. Petty. Petty parade, petty album, petty song, petty video, trying to act like you're tough when it's dumb.
So rename the album Petty.
Yes, this is Taylor's Petty Parade. I have to say,
yes,
this whole shebang was dismantled by Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Oh.
Because somebody asked them, they're like, what do you think of the song? And they're like, what? I thought this was over. Are you still thinking about that?
I'm like, put it away. And we're good.
And done. And we're done. Good.
And like, she's built her whole entire new album called Reputation based on this thing. And they're just like, what? Like,
what?
And I also just like to point out that once, like, and that someone, you brought up a thing of like, so Kim Kardashian was the one that like outed this whole entire thing. And that she chose to go after Kanye West instead of Kim Kardashian. And why? Because you can going after a black man is so much easier than going after an ethnic white woman.
Right,
Because Kim Kardashian, though, has, like, you know, her big following. She's also a white woman. Right. So it's like, can't necessarily go after that. And it's like, once again, like, if, you know, there's a constant historical... There's a historical storyline narrative that's happened in this country since the day of Birth of a Nation. This is like Birth of a Nation continuing. I'm going to put
before
it right there.
Before Birth of a Nation.
But I'm just saying like in a visual sort of media context.
Oh my God,
like
so true.
The attack. So Taylor Swift continuously gets quote unquote being attacked by this unruly black man and the poor white woman who is left to defend herself. Poor her. When it's like
he's
not even
so
the one
true.
That put the tape out there on blast.
It's so true. It's like she's following the narrative, just like what you're saying, the American narrative of blaming the scary black guy. And she tries to be a tongue-in-cheek at the end of the video by like having, she has like 15 different Taylors all throughout history yelling at each other, and one of them is like, stop playing the victim. And it's like, yeah, you're being tongue-in-cheek and you're calling yourself a bitch, but you're still doing it by having a song called Look What You Made Me Do, which takes yourself out of the blame.
You know, and I would say we need less Taylor Swift's. Like, listen, white ladies, if you're looking for something to do in 2017, you're like, what do I do? This is not the way to go about it, because there's other shit
this
to be.
Not...
I don't care about your petty bullshit. What I would like you to see is go take down some fucking racists with your white lady privilege, because
Thank
you've got
you.
White lady privilege power. Go do something important. Like,
you know what?
Florida is a fucked up place, but I'm going to give a little hats off to this white lady, Colleen Dagg. I don't know if you saw the video. Have you seen this?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. I know we got to get to the corners, but like Colleen.
Tell me about it.
Colleen Dagg, she's this white lady in Florida who, she was in this hotel, and there was, you can see the video of this. It's insane. So she's in this hotel and she's walking by and she heard this like other white lady talking to this other white receptionist. And she was like, well, she's made some sort of offhanded racist comment about Haitians, and she's like, y'all gotta clean the floors because you know the Haitians won't, or something offhandedly racist. White lady Colleen Dagg was not having it and went to go confront the woman and was like, why are you saying this racist shit, right?
Yes.
And then you could then cut to the video, and then the white woman, the racist lady, gets into Colleen's face, and Colleen whoops that trick.
Oh,
whoops that
shit.
Trick. I've never seen such a brutal takedown. Like, I'm not kidding. Goes to fucking town. Like, Florida people are crazy. So,
you know, I watch Claws. It's a good show.
Yeah, it is that turned up to it. Yeah. So I just appreciate that. Like, Colleen, like, if you're looking for something to do with your white lady privilege, like, go take down some statues. Go beat up some racists. Because you know what ends up happening? The police show up, and white lady Colleen Dagg just gets kind of casually taken off by the police. Not even in handcuffs. She's not thrown to the floor. If you do that or I do that, we might get shot and killed.
We're dead.
So you've got power and privilege. Some of the most protected people in this country, I will say this, are white women. And you can do something with that. Like, the greatest people who have benefited from affirmative action are white women.
I have to go off of that just real quickly.
Yeah.
I have a friend who exhibited that. I'm not going to say her name because I didn't get permission from her
to tell the story. Don't say her name.
I'm acknowledging her.
Sorry.
That was a good song. She is Italian. Her husband is Italian. And they went wine tasting and they found out that the guy that was helping them, he was Italian. So they were talking and the guy was really excited. And then he goes on to say, you guys need to make a lot of babies to outnumber the Mexicans.
Yikes.
So this is what she says. She says that her and her husband started bitching him out so loud that it caused all the attention of the winery. And they went and got a manager. Dude was pulled in the back and then never came out again. And she thinks that he was fired. That is how you use your privilege. And that is how you use your voice.
Boom. Done. Mm-hmm. Done. Well, yeah. Aneke, I am fired up. Tell me how I can continue getting fired up. What you got cooking over in your corner?
We are going to talk about how to be an activist on campus because, you know, it's back to school time.
Perfect. Ooh, Aneke, can I blend in? Can I be like, I want to be like,
you could be a grad student. Kissed.
I want to be, thank
you. It's easier to blend in on a college campus.
Oh, I don't need to like dress up. I don't need to get like my trapper.
You don't need a backwards hat.
And get like my backpack and like a lollipop and be like, hey guys, where's the nearest mixer?
Yeah, that would be for college. That's a lot. That's a lot of look.
Should I tone it down? All right, well, back to school. Aneke, you tell me how to get active on my local campus.
Back on campus.
Oh, is it pledge time? Ooh, Aneke, I hope you're not going to make me do anything crazy like take off my pants and spank me and make me eat a bunch of pies while watching Legally Blonde. Ooh, don't make me do it. I hope I pass the test.
James, who do you think you're talking to right now?
sorry, I got lost in the moment. College life! College!
I am not your sexy friend. I'm pretty...
What? Isn't that what the college dumpy. Kids are all doing on the first week? They're like hazing each other and doing crazy...
We went to UC Santa Cruz. That did not happen.
Yeah, we didn't have none of that. But fights? Maybe co-eds doing pillow fights and...
You're in a sexy kind of mood, aren't you?
It's been a while.
Someone help James, because he is ready to go. All right.
Well, hit me with the activist pillow.
Okay, so as everybody knows, I am a college librarian, and I work on campus, and school has started. It is in session.
School's back in session.
I was reading my favorite blog that I always recommend, and I always tend to... use feministing.com.
Love them.
Feministing.com. So, and I saw this one article by Barbara Sostiata. Sostaita. She wrote this awesome thing called Your Guide to Feminist Student Organizing This Fall.
Ooh.
So the reason that it really caught my attention was the first line says, college turned me into an activist. Ooh. Which couldn't be truer for me. Ooh. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, James, but for me, I was very much just trying to putz through life in high school, just trying to get through, trying to avoid bullies. I got to college. I found myself. I found my identity. I found, you know, I started to discover what it was like to be a Black woman and be an ally and open my eyes to all the different things, which I'm sure a lot of college students are doing right now. And I'm pretty sure that... a lot of you that are in college right now might be feeling kind of like, oh, I feel like this urge, I'm this new person, and I am ready to kind of activate this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this article basically first covers some of the struggles that are happening in schools right now. So I'm going to just go over them.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, I'm going to ask you and answer it.
Okay.
So you can take a break.
Okay. I'm going to sit this one out.
But hey, I'm not a lady. I'm a guy. This doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does, because everyone can be a feminist and should be a feminist.
There we go. You just did it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that was a quick break.
Tag back in and I could get back to work.
All right, I'm back in. So basically, she outlines four key struggles that are happening on campus. Obviously, you can take different avenues. You can use these ways that I'm going to give you to activate or to be an activist in whatever cause you're looking at. But some of the main ones that are happening and generally what we talk about on this podcast, the first one is anti-racism, obviously, because, I mean, think about it. The Unite the Right rally, when they were marching around with their tiki torches,
And Anake, look at you. You better leave them and the tiki torches alone.
I bet people died. I shouldn't be laughing. I shouldn't. True. No, yeah. This is very serious. But that happened on a college campus. That happened on the UVA college campus. Also, I wanted to point out that a lot of colleges have histories of enslavement. Mm. A lot of buildings are named after known Confederates, racist people.
Motherfuckers.
And in fact, other colleges like University of Texas used to have segregated dorms. So like even after way past civil rights, they would have a dorm that was mostly populated by Black people. So there's different ways to look for to be a anti-racism activist in a more specific way towards your college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So sexual violence is another thing that's plaguing campus right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other thing, I just want to say that I was so glad to hear that when you're talking about feminist mm-hmm. movement and activism, I love that I hear racism, talking about racism and dismantling that as part of the conversation, because that's new, because that wasn't the conversation, I would say, even back in the 90s.
Oh, because you know what, James? What? Because our podcast is about intersectionalism.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh, is it? Oh, I'm in the right space.
Oh, also, I really want to point out for anti-racism activism, a lot of colleges have invisible labor. So you go on a college campus and you see people who are the custodians, the gardeners, people who are the support staff are usually people of color. So support them.
Yeah.
Show them love. Show them support, because they are the backbone of a college system.
One of my first protest rallies that I ever went to at UC Santa Cruz, and we loved the protest. There was a protest, you just went. It was the thing
it's
to
true.
Do. That's mm-hmm. how I learned my activism. I was like, what are we doing today? We protesting. What are we protesting?
Right.
I just was there to lend my voice. But it was for the workers, the workers on campus, who mostly, there was a lot of, Latino workers at UC Santa Cruz specifically. There's a lot of, there's a huge influx of immigrants from there too.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out there. That's when I first learned Si Se Puede at UC Santa Cruz. So you were right in the beginning when you said people learn how to be an activist. They learn their activism selves and lives in college campuses.
It's so true. It's so true. Okay, going back to the sexual violence aspect, I wanted to touch on that one aspect because it's super important. So sexual violence, obviously, in 2015, a study reported that 23% of women report experienced sexual assault in college.
Damn.
So that's a big percentage. It's
way too big.
That's
almost 1 in 4 female college students.
Right. And I'm sure it goes up in the bigger, more fratty kind of colleges because of all the big partying and the quote unquote gray areas when people are drunk and stuff. So we need to really support and be activists on that. Remember, I did the Title IX. So if you want to look back on that one episode, when I talk about Title IX, there's a lot more things that I talk about according to sexual violence.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctuary campuses, because this is incredibly important right now, because the DREAM Act, DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, Trump is looking to boot people. And I think he's circling the bend about really removing the DREAM Act. So a lot of students who have grown up here, essentially, but are undocumented, are going to be deported. So sanctuary campuses allow people who are undocumented to stay at the college. They prohibit ICE officers from entering the campus without a warrant. They guarantee students privacy by refusing to release the immigration status of students. They provide tuition support, investing in resources to train the staff, and also provide confidential and free legal support for non-citizen students. So that is kind of what a sanctuary campus is. So if you work on a campus, if you are a college student, if you are going to be a college student, think about really petitioning your campus to be a sanctuary campus.
Absolutely. You know, it's very interesting. I almost went into a career in higher education student affairs because, I mean, those college campuses are just they're such important places. This is it's where a lot of the future, and I'm not saying if you didn't go to college, fuck you, you're not contributing anything, but a lot of there's a lot of power at a university, and you're really sowing the roots for a lot of, like, for me, the conversation never just happened in the classroom. The biggest education was happening outside of the classroom as well, from the social conversations that you were having from people and social interactions.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on that. I mean, inside and outside, like inside the classroom, I was learning about different theories and stuff, which helped me reinforce my outside knowledge and thirst for investigating and researching stuff. So yeah, the conversations are the most important. The fourth one on this list is workers' rights. So there are basically, you know, giving rights to teachers, giving rights to people who are, you know, proper health insurance, proper support, unions, better pay, less exploitive stuff. So those are some of the issues that are, you know, if you're looking for something to get activated on, you can start circling the drain on that one, on those four that I just mentioned. So you're thinking, what do I do? Like, now I'm fired up. Now I realize there's injustice. I understand who I am. I want to be an activist. So obviously, like you said, James, could follow your thing. And if there is a protest on campus, show up. Check it out. You know?
Protests need bodies and voices. Mm-hmm.
You know? So go to a protest. If you are a type of person that doesn't feel comfortable in large crowds, or you're just tired that day or whatever, you can use whatever thing that you can do. So let's say you are able-bodied. Volunteer as a note taker for someone who needs it. If you're an artist, create art, you know, create posters for people going to protest, create shirts, wear protest shirts, create messages throughout the college, you know? If you work at the radio station, like, for example, I have to really give props to this local radio station here in the Bay Area called KFOG, which is normally kind of just like a bougie whatever radio station.
But I love KFOG.
I know. Me too.
I've been on KFOG. Oh, I did an interview with me. With Marianne, I think that's her.
Sure.
Well, she was dope.
Okay.
not going back on her show, I guess.
But KFOG, all this weekend, because of all the crazy Nazi shit that was going to happen in the Bay Area, this whole weekend played protest songs and donated money towards different causes. So
everyone's got power.
You got your own power. So, okay. So I work in a college, so I kind of am going to get off this track a little bit, where it is so easy on a college campus, and I'm speaking to the college students who listen to this show directly right now. One thing you don't realize until you graduate and leave college is how easy it is to organize and how easy it is to find like-minded people, to get involved, to be active. Because you're right on a central area. You usually have quads, you usually have student centers, so you can start to really gather. So use the opportunity while you're on campus around other like-minded students to really gain steam, find people to support you, and really flourish in your creativity. Use your art.
Yeah.
Go to the library. Talk to a librarian. They will be more than happy to help you research. They will also probably help you get a space. The library is a lot of the times a really good place to have speakers, to have discussions, to show your art, to really have a venue to use your activism there. There's no limit to how to be an activist. Every time I turn around, there's a new way to do it.
You're only limited by your own imagination, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're only limited by your own sort of beliefs on what it is that you can or can't do. And if I can add, I know this is not on your list.
Yeah, please put it on there.
You don't need to ask for permission to do any of these things. Like, you can go do them. And you know?
Don't, like, set things on fire.
In some things, you should, like... But you know, like, if you're like, oh, I don't know if I can make this poster, if I don't know, if I can write this poem,
know
if I can start this group, or, like, you have permission. The only person who is stopping you is yourself.
I love that. I love that so much. One last phrase that I want to say.
Give me that phrase. Give me that phrase.
This is a tweet that's on the article From the tweet, the tweeter is Dr. Saeed, so Saeed Abdul Kabir. It says, "You don't need to be a voice for the voiceless. Just pass the mic." So another way to be an ally is to let people speak for their own causes too. So if you find that you are not a part of a cause and but you want to be an ally for it, don't push the people out of the way. Let them speak for it.
Yeah.
Be there to support them. Be their background. Hold the mic for them. You know?
Yeah. Because I get it. Some of, like, I just, nothing is the worst. I will never forget when, and I've mentioned this before, but when my, like, white ex-boyfriend from, now ex-boyfriend from Portland, outcried me about Ferguson.
Exactly.
I was like, can I cry about this? Like, I get it. You're
so
feeling
true.
A lot of confusing things. You thought racism was done. It's not. Let me cry. Let me speak.
Right. Don't push the people out of the way. Like, I would never be like, James, today I'm going to not let you talk about queer issues. Today it's all me talking about queer issues.
Yeah.
And my voice is more important and I need to get out there and talk over you about this. So it's like,
I would like
you
to
can contribute, but
like, well, like when Orlando happened, like you were there for me. You know, you
right.
didn't kept calling me and be like, James, I just can't believe this happened. Oh my God, James, I'm feeling about this and I'm so shocked and I'm so sad. And I, right? Like,
right.
But that's also because you know the world is not like, being a black woman, you already, you know this world is not.
I already know.
You already know what this world is about, so.
It's one of those things, it's like being an activist means not only knowing when to step up, but also when to take a step aside.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Lead now or step aside. And there's nothing wrong with stepping aside. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No.
As long as you keep moving forward. Don't like step aside and be like, all right, I guess I'm good. Go to
I'm
go
done.
Play Mario Kart.
Gonna eat this gonna eat this sheet cake and
yeah.
take a step back.
Although I would like, speaking of sheet cake. Oh, is that a diss on Tina Fey?
Ooh, I did a dig.
Okay, you know what? You are on fire today. Aneke is coming for you. Todrick Hall, she came for you. Tina
I didn't,
Fey.
Todrick, we support you.
We support
we
you.
Support
but you.
You
know what? I get it. Like, I said that I had an offline conversation with Aneke, which is now online, but I said, Aneke, never let me chase the dollars that much. Let me always stand for something that, like, let me, that's all I'll say.
But you know what? I am going to say,
what?
If it's, like, over a few million dollars, then I might be like, you know what?
Because then I'm
chase those dollars.
But you know what? I'm gonna take that money and I would do some really good shit with it. Like,
exactly.
You know, that's what I'm gonna
exactly.
go do with it. So,
oh, of course, of course.
Like, you know, take Taylor Swift to go to, like, I don't know, a conference about learning some shit. Like,
thank
aren't her
you.
Parents like, are her parents like fucking Trump supporters?
Probably. They're rich. They're from Pennsylvania.
Someone did a great, like, when they took the lemonade
oh,
picture.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, "My daddy, Trump supporter. Mama."
There's a lot of
you
good
take
ones
that
on Twitter.
Girl from Pennsylvania, make that mayonnaise on ya.
Yeah,
I know, whatever. But like, yeah,
that was so good. That was
oh,
so good. Well, I just, I really, if anything that people can get from my little corner is that just stay active, keep pursuing, use that. If you're not on a college campus, use some
go
of my
go to one.
Or,
oh. And get active on your local campus.
I was just
going to
say get inspired by this stuff, but sure. I mean,
oh, okay.
Get...
I thought... go to your local campus and go get, like,
it's
wouldn't
fun.
That be crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there is a campus that, like, they're not really doing much. You need
ooh.
To teach the kids. You need
I
to teach
guess.
The kids. This is how we protest.
I don't want
this is how
our
we do
listeners
it.
To be arrested for harassing children, but, you
could
know.
You imagine? They go to Chico. They go to Chico State, and they're like, come on, Chico.
And
we
I shouldn't say
protest.
Children. I should say young adults, because that's
they are.
Who's on campus. Teenagers are not young adults. Teenagers are teenagers.
They're, not. They're children. They're those. Them's the children.
But if you're so a teenager that, listening to the show, we love you.
So that means that it's okay for me to read young adult novels because I am a young adult.
You're a young adult. Yeah.
Am I? Because I'll tell you what made me not feel like a young adult.
What's that?
You know what came and went and I had no idea and it was just like a fart and just went by?
What, a fidget spinner?
No, well, fuck those.
Okay.
You know, I'm coming after you, fidget spinners. I know this is a tangent. everybody, if you're like, I gotta use my fidget spinner because I have so much anxiety, go fucking meditate. I'm sorry. Okay. That, like, literally, wow. Go fucking meditate.
Wow, James. Like, I didn't know that I
fucking
I hit a
hate
nerve.
Them. Every time I see someone with them, I want to smack them out of their hands and just say, fucking meditate.
Yeah,
and
you're not.
That's
a,
what I want to do.
You're not a young adult just from that.
Oh, really? Is that? Well, the second reason number one, I'm not a young adult, okay, is from that shit. Number two, the VMAs came and went, and I had no idea.
Me too. I mean, I heard a little bit of muttering about it, and I was like, meh.
But you know what? I would say this. I think this is what happened. I think it's more than just we aged out.
It's
of
true.
MTV. I think it's more than just that. I think that MTV is not as relevant as it used to be.
Agreed.
Because there's so many programmings, and I think if this was like, I think if we were in our 30s 10 years ago,
we'd probably still be into it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd still maybe like check in a little bit. Or if I was like in my 30s in like 2002
I would have watched it.
Britney was dancing with a snake. I think it was still edgy and provocative, and it was on.
Totally.
It was on a Thursday night, you know, too. So it was like, it would go on for like 3 hours. Like, it was like past bedtimes, you know?
Plus, not to mention, people still watch videos, but they don't go to MTV for their videos anymore. So it just
feels. I go to YouTube.
Yeah. It feels. It's different. Like different, and they need to change it, update it, or just let it die, because I feel like even like young people, teenagers, early 20s, early 30s, we don't care. No one cares.
And I remember even like the movie awards used to be like a thing. You'd get actual celebrities there, you know, like Will Smith or Jim Carrey would actually go, and like now it's like you just like. And like, I was like looking through like these, like, I had no idea who these people who were there at the VMAs,
right.
I didn't know who they were.
I
think like people only go if they know, like, I think Pink went because she was like, oh, I'm winning this big ass award.
She was
I'll
getting the
up.
Old lady award, the Video Vanguard award.
And you know what? Let's talk about that for a second as we phase out of this corner.
Okay, yeah.
I'm on a tirade today.
Yeah, I am ready.
But they're
I'm
also,
living for it.
Mm-hmm. They're also running out of people to give that award to because.
Yeah,
Pink,
because nobody.
Really? I'm sorry. We're down to Pink. Sorry. We had Michael Jackson in the first one. I'm pretty sure Madonna got one. Ooh, Britney got one.
Things.
Rihanna had one. And now we're at Pink. Like,
things
okay.
James does not like. One, fidget spinners. Two, Pink.
I like her. I just like, I'm just still surprised that we're still talking about
That's
her.
True.
And that, like,
she
a few
has
years
not
ago,
one
she,
video that I'm like remembering right now.
Like, a few years ago, she was labeled the queen of pop because her concerts were selling out arenas. Like, because she would do her twirly twirl things.
She's still doing her twirly twirl. She loves that aerial stuff.
I applaud her. Yeah, she was like, look at this new hobby I made, and I'm going to do this in my show. Like, I applaud her for, like,
this is true.
Because otherwise, she's just standing on the stage.
That's true.
And
not, she does
like,
not dance.
Well, you know what? Tell that to you got me going. You got me
God,
going.
I do.
You know, tell that to Janet Jackson's MTV icon. I am still upset about this.
Uh-oh.
Because they did a dance tribute and they got Usher. Makes
yes.
sense.
Makes sense. He's
they
a dancer.
They had Maya.
She's
makes
a dancer.
Sense.
She's a dancer.
And then Pink.
No, nope, not a dancer.
Lost my shit when they announced they're like Usher, Maya, and Pink. But what?
You do not like Pink.
But what? They passed up Britney Spears for Pink, and Pink fucked up some of the choreographer.
Of
some,
course.
Her manager shoehorned her into that little number because she had just come out.
So good.
So
good. I love
anyways,
this.
I appreciate her, but I just am like, okay, anyways. Anyways,
yeah.
Get active on your campus.
Yeah, get active. Don't watch Pink videos. Throw your fidget spinner away and pass the mic.
That's it. We're not asking for much. Aneke, I got some questions for you.
Okay.
You want a hot body?
Yes.
You want a Bugatti?
I do.
You want a Maserati?
Sure.
You better work, bitch.
Okay.
You better work. So I dropped a nugget about this about a month ago about a book that I was reading, and it is a Minority Corner book report review. Book report. Book
Ooh.
Report.
Ooh. Okay.
This is based on, this is my full, this is a book report review based on The Purposeful Millionaire by James Nowlin, and it's his 52 rules for creating a life of wealth and happiness now.
That's what we all want, right?
And I love you. You know me. I love me some self-help, and I'm constantly trying to just better myself, empower myself,
yes.
and build in that empire of love.
I love it.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm just hitching on for the ride.
Yes. Well, you're doing your thing too, girl. I see you, Auntie Neke.
Okay.
Coming out with her hands out. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true.
No.
Sorry. That was. I love you. But what, a lot of times, like when I read, I listen to a lot of these podcasts. You know, there's like the, there's a millionaire podcast. There's, I listen to a lot of like entrepreneurial type podcasts. And a lot of time their guests are straight white dudes. So I'm always kind of like side eyeing it. I'm like, but trying to steal those in, those nuggets, the information. But I'm always like, but you didn't have like this journey.
Exactly.
Right? Then James Nowlin came stomping onto the scene. Let me tell you about James Nowlin.
Tell me about him. Okay.
He's black, gay, and in his 30s, and his name is James.
Oh, so clearly you're connected to this guy.
Well, I was just like, oh.
You're like,
well,
oh,
no,
this guy knows my life.
He knows the journey and the experience. So, all right, no more excuses is literally what shut that down. So I was like, okay,
so
all right, so
I
it is possible.
That. I didn't realize how close a connection that he has with you.
It was so close. I was like staring into a mirror, but one had fatter bank accounts and pockets.
Yeah, a lot of money.
And so I was just like, okay. So it's like, for me, it was like to hear what he's saying, I was able to digest it way more because it's like, he gets it. He gets that double minority experience.
Yep.
He didn't come from wealth. His family was a working class family,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
And he had a near-death life experience, and it changed everything.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, and sometimes I think a lot of people are, like, hesitant. They're like, oh, well, I don't need to be a millionaire. I don't need to be rich. And you know what I say to that? That is really cute for you. But what about all the other people out there who need your help? Because here's something that we cannot escape. Money equals power. And
it's
I think we need to get more comfortable with talking about power, because when you have money, it allows you to be able to do other things. So it's
so
like, I could sit really cute in my New York apartment and do my 9-to-5 and call it a day.
Right.
But that doesn't help. You know, like, I have dreams, and we all have dreams and communities and people that we want to help. You know, I want to one day open up a homeless LGBT youth center and place. You know what that's going to cost?
Money.
So I need to get my ass
get
in gear so
money.
I can go and help those kids have some houses, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and I love this quote. Ava DuVernay, she said, you know what she said?
What'd she say?
She said, if your dreams only include you, your dreams are too small. So, you know, I'm just
like
going
that.
On the heels of what you were talking about. And I think I just wanted to, like, I read this book and it really made me refocus and rethink about how I thought about money. And James Nowlin gives you 52 rules. I'm not going to give you all the 52 rules because you need to go buy the book.
Go buy that book. Support that millionaire.
Buy that book and support this fellow black queer man being
so
a millionaire
true.
Doing his thing.
There are so
and
many millionaires
also,
to support. Support that one.
Support this one because it's also like, you know, it's an investment into you. When you buy books about it like this, you're investing into yourself, into your dreams, and into the goodness that you want to go out there and create and have these tools to go out there.
So true.
And get yourself some money, some power, and a seat at the table. So
I love it.
In this segment, what I want to do is change our relationships that we have with money, from it being from a place of fear and hate and lack to a place of gratitude, love, and abundance.
You know, I like how you flipped it on its head, because a lot of people think like you turn into a Scrooge McDuck as soon as you have a bunch of money. No, you can definitely, like, look at Warren Buffett. Like, you can use all of your money to, does Warren Buffett... I think he donates to a lot of stuff.
I feel like he does a lot of good things.
Yes.
I'm gonna put my money on that. I think he does.
If I'm wrong, check me.
Well,
Corner Kids, check
let
me.
Let us know. We'll come next week is a new episode. There's even little silly, like little James things that I've been doing recently to change my perception about money. I do little money dances when I get checks. When I get little checks from a little like offhanded, when I do like a Marvel shoot or I do a little like show, I do like a little money dance to work bits, just like to appreciate this money that's coming in.
I love
like,
that.
Like, again, like appreciating. I think sometimes we don't like just take the time. Like, we're sometimes so, and I think especially like those of us who, I don't know, like sometimes, I'm not saying like minorities have it harder, but sometimes we do, right?
Yeah,
like,
you could say that.
And so we have to change that perception of it. So I want to empower us, because we can get some seats at the table. You know, sometimes before I make a little purchase that I'm like, oh, this is scary, this is a big purchase, I put my little debit card on my heart and I charge it with some power and some love.
Look at
you know?
Care Bearing it up.
Just Care Bear Stare. Care Bear Stare. Because also, it's going to change the energy behind that thing. that I am purchasing.
It's
right?
True.
I don't want to purchase it with stress and worry. I want to purchase it with love and abundance.
You know what? I love that. Like, it might, like, I like flipping money on its head. Like, think of money as a means to a way to get things done instead of, like, a dirty collection that you can weigh over other people's heads.
You literally just stole the next quote that I was going to say. That my mom, no, don't apologize. You're on the same page as my mama.
Oh, okay.
Because my mama once told me, and this always stuck with me, she was like, James. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't talk like this. Yeah. She was like, James. So my mom does not sound like that at all. She was like, money stands. She's like, you know what money stands for? I was like, what, mom? She's like, my own natural energy yield.
Oh.
I think she got it from somebody, but
I love that, though. And I also am seeing how you're related to your mother, because it sounds like something you would say. It's beautiful.
I probably have said that to you at some point, because it's just energy. Because really, it's just, it's, we talked about this, like, I mean, at one point money was tulips, you know.
It's so true.
It was these shiny rocks that Europeans thought were everything, and the South Americans were like, these are just shiny rocks.
Exactly.
Right, so it's just energy. So let's change our energy around it. So one of the things I really loved about the book that it talks about, he talks about going from a scarcity to an abundance mindset. So a lot of us live in a scarcity. There's a not enough. And so the book has exercises that it's going to take you through. You're going to be doing some work. It's a workout book. Like, you're going to through it, put the work in to rechange your mind, and also just start to create a game plan for yourself of how you're going to create that abundance for you.
Yeah, that's good.
And one of the formulas I love, so that he talks about, and I've been really using this as a guiding principle for myself, is that he created an equation for success.
Oh.
The equation for success is idea plus plan plus execution. That's what equals success. And so a lot of us get really bogged down. Everyone's got ideas.
Yeah.
Everyone's got ideas.
It's so true.
And a lot of people create plans, but very few people get to the execution space where you're going to spend about 90% of your time in execution.
That's, like, the hardest part.
You and I could have just sat around a pool talking about, like, our ideas for a podcast.
Yeah, but we didn't.
And we had to get to the execution phase of it,
it's
right?
It's so true. It's so true.
So that's going to bring us to our first rule. So his first rule, this is rule number one that he says. So I'm going to read a few of these rules. I got to buy the book. It's going to read you some of my favorite ones that resonated with me.
Okay.
So his first rule says, first, you got to love yourself, and then the universe will conspire to lift you higher.
Ooh.
Your thoughts about yourself, money, and what other people think about you, and the way you respond to those thoughts can build you up or completely tear you down.
Okay.
So from the get-go, you got to just change all of this mindset. It all starts with you.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you know, I really talk about a lot of, you know, therapy is so helpful, meditation, knowing your own self-worth. You know, one of the first things that I see every morning, like, what is that first thing that you see when you get up in the morning? For me, I put a poster above me, and the first thing that I said, first thing that I see in the morning, it says, how good can you stand it? That's the first thing.
Okay.
Because I am the barrier to how much goodness can you stand in your life, right? Like, I am the barrier to how much of that will get to come in. And as RuPaul says, if you don't love yourself,
how the hell are you going to let somebody love you?
Okay, well, that's not what he said. That's not it. You know what RuPaul said? He said, how you gonna love? Well, if you don't.
Sorry.
And, well, you know what he said.
I know what he says. He's like, if you don't
love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
There we go. That's it.
Okay, we got there.
We got there. It took us a minute.
So it really does come first and foremost with loving yourself, because when you believe that you are, when you love yourself fully, you're going to be able to accept the good things that come to you.
Yes.
So something else I say sometimes, like, I look myself in the mirror and I say, I love you.
Ooh,
I just say
good.
That.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's good to, like, look into your eyes and make sure that you know that you are worthy and deserving of love. It all starts with you.
Aww.
My next rule that I want, it's his number three rule. He says, it is okay to feel that the world of opportunity has left you behind, but get over it.
Oh, so don't wallow.
I love that little bit of tough love, and especially because, like, coming from him, gay black man from the South in Lynchville, Virginia.
Oh, shit.
Lynchville.
Worst name ever.
Virginia.
Worst name of a town. gonna drive right past that town on the freeway. Thank you very much.
Odds stacked against him. And it's like, I get it. Like, sometimes I think we can get so bogged down in our victimhood. I do it too sometimes, right? Mm. Like, we all can. Like, things are very unfair. It's unset against us, you know, being a woman, being a person of color, queer.
Look what you made me do.
And having to deal with that shit, right?
Like, get over it.
But, like, this is a great example of someone needing to get over it. Here it is. Don't be a Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Let that be your inspiration. Like,
be a Dina Lohan, not a Taylor Swift.
Be a Dina Lohan, not a Taylor Swift, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who's going to say, like, this fucking sucks, but I'm going to do something about it.
Yes. You can acknowledge it, but then you move on. I love it.
Move on. Moving to a place of thriving. And again, when you live in a world of abundance, there's no limit to what you can reach and what you can do, right?
Right.
Like, what I love is that Oprah Winfrey says, you know, that if you're having a situation, you're having a stress, or something is coming against you, right?
Yeah.
Oprah says, this is not happening to you, it's happening for you. Those things are going to make you that much stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Those adversities that you had, like, you needed this to happen for you to get over that hurdle. And if you can get over to that hurdle, that's where the growth is going to come from.
Right.
When I'm at the gym, you know, I grow, my muscles grow, not just, you know, talk about my body.
Okay.
But, like, from that pain is where that growth happens. Or, like, look at birth. It is, I'm not a woman,
but
I imagine that shit is painful.
Yeah, looks terrifying.
But it's from that pain, something beautiful comes out,
it's
right?
So
like
true.
You have to and even if you're that little baby, I'm sure it's uncomfortable as fuck. No wonder you're crying. You're like, what the fuck is going on, right?
Right.
But you have to go through that birth, that painful ass, uncomfortable, sticky, weird, gross ass birth.
Yeah.
To get into, you know.
You know what? I totally get what you're saying. I do think I want to add a little caveat, though, because some problems like that happen can be devastating. And I think giving yourself time to heal from that and not to push the get over it part will allow you to enter into the growth stage easier. Like, if you lose a loved one, that's terrible. You know, take care of yourself. Love yourself. Using all the different things that you've given to us now in order to move forward and grow from.
And that's in the quote, because he says it's okay to feel those things, but the next step is to move and get through that.
Yes.
And I, you know, I was listening to on Lewis Howes' School of Greatness podcast. He had this guy, Kyle Maynard, who he needs to have a movie because he was born a quadriplegic, no arms, no legs.
Oh, wow.
And like, and that's where I just kind of stop myself. Like, every time I'm about to be like, but wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I've got arms. I've got legs.
Right.
I can see.
Yeah.
Right? He went on. He played football. He wrestled. He climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, my God.
And talk about the world leaving him behind, giving him a shitty ass hand.
Yeah.
But you know what he did? He got over it. He pushed through it. And like, that is like a huge inspiration. So it's like, you know, we're alive. A friend of mine died recently. It's like, I'm fucking alive. Like, even when things are like really, really shitty, it's shitty because you're alive. So that's something to be grateful for. Even like, oh, thank you for this shitty thing. It's my shitty thing.
Because I'm alive. I'm living. I'm going through life right now. Yeah.
And that's why it hurts, because you are alive. And I'd much rather it hurt than not be.
There you go. Love it.
So the next one.
Okay.
Number four, he says, replace negative thoughts with radically positive affirmations. Now, this is kind of key. So I know some of us are kind of rolling our eyes about this. Oh, this sounds like The Secret. La-da-da-da-da. And if you find yourself in that, that's the point. You have negative programming.
There you go.
And that has come from outside sources that has told you you're not going to have it. You're not going to get it. Whether that's from media sources or people in your life, or not having people around you who have what you know in your heart that you really truly believe. So this is going to take work.
Yes.
It's going to take work. So it's like, and we're all pre-programmed with negative bias. It's a survival tool.
I mean, being sarcastic is kind of fun, but after a while, it really starts to set you back.
what is that going to get you? And also negative bias, like even from a natural standpoint, the negative bias is important because it can keep you safe. Mm-hmm. It was a survival tool that back in the old days, I would look at some berries and be like, I have a negative bias about those berries. They might kill me, right? And I survived to tell the tale.
Yes.
So... Or like, oh, that person looks like they might beat me up. I better stay away, right? Like, survive. But so it's like, but we have to have, now it's time to evolve past that and to be able to use that as a filter.
Yes.
And like check in like, oh, that negative thought is telling me that I can't be a rich ass millionaire. Right. That's interesting. Where'd that come from? That's not my thought. That's somebody else's thought outside of you. Mm. So we need to acknowledge those and replace them with affirmations. Like, what are you agreeing to?
Yeah.
You are, the thoughts that are in your head are your agreements that you are making. So... Mm. And it's also the thoughts that you say about yourself and other people.
Mm.
Because if you're having negative thoughts about all these other people and, oh, they can't have that, they're not going to be nothing, or they're not talented, or, well, those are going to be negative thoughts you're also going to have about yourself as well.
Ooh, reflection. So it's like
being mindful about what's being reflected back to you, right?
Yes, yes.
So it's like, you know, how can we look at things and just, you know, what are your affirmations that you say in the mornings or at nights, right? Like, and it's gonna take work. You're gonna have to reprogram this negative conscious. If what you want is wealth and happiness and health, it's gonna take work to reprogram it.
So true.
Another one that he says, to earn more, you gotta learn more. You'll like this little Miss Librarian.
You know, I love that one. Keep yourself educated.
Exactly. Because you know what? Knowledge creates empires, and there is no substitute for knowledge, is what he says. And a lot of people pretend to be experts, but they're not. And also, if you increase, you did this, you got a master's. And so you're saying, look, I got all this education, I deserve this much money, right? So, like, constantly being the learner. Like, what are the other... You're already learning and laughing and playing with us, so you've already got that going for yourself.
Check on your list, listener.
Check that one. But it's like... You know, like, I like, for myself as an actor, it's like, I've got to continue taking, like, okay, I did 2 years of miser training. All right, now I want to become a great improv actor, right?
Right.
Or I got to take voice lessons. Or, you know, I want to start my own film production company. Great. So now I need to learn all the mechanics, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm saying now I'm worth this much because this is the knowledge that I have. So continuously growing in your passion, in your field, so you can start... having that money show up in your bank account.
Keep your brain active. It will make you feel so much happier. I love it.
Absolutely. This is his other one. This is rule number 6. I just have a few more here. Mm-hmm. He says, stop searching for someone to hand you the keys to success or show you where they are.
Yeah, take some initiative.
Well, then he also says that they're already in your hands. Oh. He's not as sassy as you.
Oh, okay.
He says they're already in your hands. You just have to unlock the door to your mind. Or what Aneka said, just go do it. What I love about this, though, is that, like, sometimes we're always, I think people are waiting for their savior. They're waiting for their mentor, or they're waiting for their hero. And what I want to say, nobody's coming. Be the hero that you wish to see.
Nobody's coming. That's so bleak. But it's true.
But it's not. It should be empowering because it's like, fuck, you step up. And this is what you were talking about in your last section. It's like, be that activist that you wish that was out there, or be that change that you wish to see. You know, be that hero that you wish that, like, man, I wish I had me, or I wish that I had this person to look up to. Be that
person. It's so true. If you, like, think of it in, like, a business sense with an entrepreneur, they make so much money because they see a gap. They don't go, oh, I wish that I had a sticky note to write on. They go, oh, a sticky note has not been invented, so I need to do it. So
absolutely.
Use that as people. Be like, oh, I wish that there was somebody there to help that woman. Go help the woman.
Go help her.
If I wish that someone would show me a book to learn how to find this thing, go research and find that book and learn it yourself.
And if that book doesn't exist, go write it, right? Or if you're like, I wish there was this book about thing. Like you said, do the research and then go fucking write that book because nobody else took the initiative to go out there and write it. I think sometimes we're just sitting around for people to do these things. Like you have ideas.
Do it.
Go to work. And there's a quote from Emerson, which I heard, this is one of the quotes from that quadriplegic guy, Kyle Maynard. This is one of his quotes that he lived by, and I heard him say this, and it really stuck with me. He says, "Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail."
Look at that.
And I really like that, because if you think about it, we're all kind of walking on these different paths that other people have sort of carved out, right? Mm-hmm. And we're following their path. And then eventually we kind of need to veer off on our own sort of trail and mm-hmm. make that trail, because no one has lived the life and journey that you have.
Right.
Right? Like if you, we all have those dreams, and it doesn't need to look like, you know, your dream doesn't need to look like Tesla. It doesn't need to look like Bill Gates. It doesn't need to look like Denzel Washington, Viola Davis. Like their pathway is not your pathway. So you're on the right track, mm-hmm. and you're going your pathway. And so just own that. And like the great thing is that trail that you're creating, some other little person is coming right behind you on your little trail.
And that's the cool thing, is using other people's trail as a template too. Like,
yep.
You can use it, but also know that you're going to diverge in your own, because you're putting your own spice on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think sometimes people get so bogged down, they think like, oh, it's too late for me to go for that dream. And I think mm-mm. there's that one quote, it's like, what age will I be when I finally become like a world-class pianist? The same age you'll be if you never start.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. I love that.
So it's like you're like, you've got the time. Do it. Act now. Yeah. Right? Like you've got the time. So go to work right now. Life is too short. So the next one, he says, jumping all the way to number 9.
Okay.
He says, always choose courage over comfort. Mm. Doing that takes an exceptional person. Exceptional people are different. And that is what makes them exceptional. Mm. You know, you think, what is greatness? You know, sometimes it's pushing yourself outside of that comfort zone. And I know for myself, and once you get into your 30s, you start to get real comfortable. Yeah. You're like, ooh, this feels good. This I don't want to do that, right?
All right.
But it's like, mm-hmm. when you get too comfortable, you stop growing. So it's like those things that kind of make you uncomfortable. Like, I get a ping sometimes, like from like, I don't want to go to that dance class. And that's how I know I need to go to that dance class, right? Those things that I'm uncomfortable about, it's like, oop, I need to do that because I need to. Right. And being uncomfortable is a part of life.
Right.
It's just your natural fight, freeze thing is kicking in there. Mm-hmm. And you could do a little check, because it's there to like make you think that you're going to die, and you think like, am I gonna die? Am I being chased by a lion?
Right.
No, I'm good. I can dial that down. I don't believe people are necessarily born great. I think they keep pushing themselves and challenging themselves. Yeah. Like Beyonce wasn't just like Beyonce,
right?
You know,
she did not come out.
She pushed herself.
In a sparkly
she challenged
outfit.
Herself. She, you know, mm-hmm. she kept pushing herself and challenging herself, and that's where she got to where she was.
Yes.
Number 13. Realize that any way that you see yourself has been self-created.
Mm.
Again. We agree, like there are certain things that are outside forces, yes, but there comes a point where we have to stop agreeing to what these outside forces say about us.
Yes, that's
we
really
create,
good.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. Just two more here.
I also want to point out,
ooh,
you're not going in order. You're just saying the numbers as they appear in the book.
Yes. So okay. We are there. You're like number 37. How did we get here?
I was like, what?
These are just my favorite ones that really jumped out at me.
I just
so
wanted to point that out
there
to
are
people.
52. Okay. I'm only giving you 10. So there are so many more. Number 37, change your network to change your net worth.
Mm.
Always be busy expanding your network. And I think this is key too. And it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go be with friends with that person because they're rich. But it's like, sometimes when you look around and you don't see the people who are doing the things that you aspire to do, mm-hmm. well, you got to change that, right? And that's also going to help affect your negative bias, right?
Yeah.
Your positive affirmations, because you're going to be around people that are doing those things that you...
Right.
It's possible, right?
Right. And this also goes for, like, attitude and outlook. Like, if you are surrounding yourself with a bunch of negative naysayers, that's going to make you negative. So look for a more positive group of people to surround yourself with.
And even, like, it's, like, people who are doing shit. You're like, look at that person doing shit. Even if they're, like, they're making, like, badass activist quilts, right?
Right.
Like,
they're
like,
doing something.
They're doing shit.
Yeah, like, that's the main thing that I really like from this list that you're saying right now, because it doesn't necessarily apply to money. Well, you can apply it to money, but it's also just about people engaging and being active and present in their lives.
And when you do that and following your bliss and your passion, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. our life is too short to hate that 9 to 5 where you're spending 40 hours of your life. That's right. your life.
Right.
Don't give that time away. Mm-hmm. Don't give a ounce of your beauty. Exactly. Yeah. Like Auntie Maxine said.
Reclaim your
time. You better
time.
Reclaim your time. Everybody, please go out there and reclaim your time. Mm-hmm. Even your moments. Even if there's like, you know, I find like some of the work stuff that I do, like I find like, if I find like, ooh, this is stupid that I'm doing it. And I'm like, wait a minute, but this is my life. So right. I'm going to find a way to enjoy it, whether it's putting on music or knowing that I'm doing this job because it's financing my dreams of having a production company, the other things. Yes. And that inspires me to like do it with gusto.
Exactly.
And also something to just, this isn't mentioned here, but I find like doing stuff out of service, right? Like how can I each day, I ask the universe how I can be of service. Mm. And that takes it less about me, but how can I help other people? And even if it's like in your day to day, you might think like your job is so dumb or so stupid, even if you're like working at McDonald's, but you're being of service.
You are.
You are helping someone get their food or whatever. So it's like, that's like, and will help you to then get rid of that negative bias because, and then enjoy your life in those moments.
It's so
like,
good. We're interconnected.
Yeah. Last one I'm going to read. Mm. Number 43. I love this one.
Okay.
Use routine and daily habits to keep chipping away at your dreams. Mm. You will eventually create a beautiful sculpture.
Look at that. I love that. I love that because it really emphasizes persistence.
Yes. Yes.
Don't give up. Keep going.
Yes. And that sort of that grit and that everything you do, yes. like you can take little steps each and every day.
Yes.
And I think it's hard, whether we're millennials, zennials, willennials. I don't know the list. Yeah. But we are the microwave generation. We right. want it now.
Now
and I think
fast.
It's. And now and fast. And I think it's also hard because we also compare ourselves to other people. And it's like, listen, like you're just chiseling those statues again.
Social media makes it so hard. Everybody's comparing themselves to each other when it's like, no, take a moment. Appreciate what you've done already and appreciate what you're going to do.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, I think it's so important of how you begin and end your day are very key. For me right. personally, just to give a little taste of what James does.
Yeah.
I start off with a morning meditation every morning. Mm. I do some gratitudes. I intentionally create my day, which are like my affirmations that I do. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I do a same sort of routine where I do a little writing where I write down 5 victories that I had. So what are the 5 victories I had? I think we don't give ourselves enough credit of like what we do each day. Like
that's so
I did my laundry.
That takes a lot of work. It's so true.
You did that, like, right? And like, right. of course, you're like, oh, I didn't do X, Y, and Z. But what are those things that you did do? Or like, I didn't yell at Rebecca today. And
there
she
you
really
go.
Pissed me off, you know?
Yeah.
Like, victory for you. I called my mom. Like, those are victories. Or I did that thing that was scary. Like, take inventory of that. I do feedback. I don't believe in failures. It's just feedback. Or like, what if I didn't do the laundry, what's the feedback? Tomorrow I'm going to strive to make a little bit more time for that. Or actually, I have so many things going on. I'm accomplishing so much. Didn't get around to that, right? Or
that's
like,
good.
I did snap at Rebecca. What's the feedback? Like, she annoys the shit out of me. Or like, you
poor
know,
Rebecca.
Like,
I hope I'm sorry, listeners, if your name is Rebecca.
She's just the first one.
Wow.
You know what Rebecca's short for?
What?
Becky.
Oh.
She's always getting it.
With the good hair?
Becky with the good hair, always getting it. And then also, it's like, I also like to do 5 things that I'm grateful for, too.
Mm.
So bookending my day, I am starting my day off on that right foot and then also ending it on that day. And I think that'll help sort of help you to reprogram yourself, you know. But I would say this in closing, you know, the world needs your brilliance. It needs your gift. It needs your wisdom. Going back to what Aneke was talking about.
Yes.
There's that quote by Marianne Williamson. She's like, you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Mm.
It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be?
Oh.
And the quote goes on from there. That's a little taste. It's a long quote. But I love that, like, you know, having the audacity. Like, who are you not to be?
Mm.
You're fully fledged, talented, fabulous, gorgeous, brilliant, wealthy, healthy self. You know, like, mm-hmm. you deserve all of that. And, like, you know, don't be afraid to go become a millionaire, because think about the things that you can do with that power. And to see, even if you don't make a million, maybe you're like, make half a million, right? But right. still, like, think about what you, if you're listening to this podcast, you have a good heart, you believe in affecting change. And what better way to be able to do that and give you a better launching pad with a little bit of money to back you, so you can also live a beautiful, carefree life, which you also deserve, and get out there and be able to help others.
Yes. Amen. I mean, there's nothing that I can add to that, because that was wonderful. All the props.
So please check out My Brother from Another Mother, James, not this James, but James Nallen. Please go buy this book. If you listen to this podcast, please go buy his book. Yeah. I only gave you just 10. Just 10. He's got 42 more rules for you that are going to help guide you, anecdotes. And also, like, he's got power plays. Like, he's going to work you out. Wow. He's going to do writing exercises. You're going to map shit out. Like, it is a great investment into your own financial security and self. And think about the great things that you will then be able to do. Your dreams are just a book away.
There we go.
So go to jamesnowlin.com. That's James Nowlin, NOWLIN.com. And you can find him at Twitter at James Nowlin, TPM. And there it is. Go make your millions. You better work, bitch.
Are you sad and confused about world politics? Worried about the upcoming inevitable nuclear war? Or maybe a rat is living in your house? There's a rat living in my house. How do you get rid of a rat from a house? Why not immerse yourself in a completely fictional, imagined podcast for the beef and dairy industries? It works for me. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. Don't worry, it's funnier than it sounds. Find us at beefanddairynetwork.com or maximumfun.org, or wherever you get your podcast from. Oh, God, there's the rat. Oh, God.
Right, well,
that's the show.
That was good.
But you know, before we go, we got a few little things to plug it up.
It is so true.
So we are getting ready for our 100th episode, and we would love for you all to be involved in that. And we already have started. So we have a little Minority Corner 100th episode giveaway.
Well, wait. Yeah. So, and that is, we're hoping to reach 100 reviews by our 100th episode.
We're at 59. So we went up. We went up two.
Yes. Thank you.
We went up
Thanks.
Two.
Guys?
On iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah, so cool.
I can read. I can. We have some really great reviews. I'm not going to read this entire one.
Yeah.
Because you really wrote a beautiful, beautiful message that we're so appreciative. Go to iTunes and read this review, because it's amazing.
It was so inspiring.
It's from Niblet, and Niblet said, Minority Corner is absolutely essential listening if you want to expand your knowledge and perspective on both serious and playful topics. And this is very important as a white bi gal. But I want to scroll down. It goes on, but I want to just get this.
Yeah.
Also clap back
yes.
in this
yes,
comment.
Yes, I love that. That was so good.
Said that there are that there's someone who mentioned that it was missing out on the other side, one of the other comments, and they said that there are plenty of other podcasts for that. If you feel like you were missing out on the other side, then be thankful that you also get to miss out on the discrimination and prejudice that marginalized groups of people face all the time. So thank you for clapping back at one of those negative comments.
Oh my God. So remember, if we can reach 100 reviews by our 100th episode,
everybody who has written a comment will be entered to win. So we'll draw out one of those names and you're gonna win. We'll draw a name out of the hat, because I want to include everybody who's ever written a review. So out of that.
Okay, cool. All right. Awesome. We got a tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. Who did that?
Okay, so we got a couple of them. So one I want to give a shout out to, it is at Apocalypneco. I'm probably saying it wrong, but you know who you are. I'm not going to say your name
weird
for
and hard.
It. You know. says, check out at Minority Corner, James and Aneke bring culture, real talk, remind you to self-care and be a better person. Can't recommend them enough.
Yeah.
And I want to give a bonus one, which is at Kelly D. Cat Lady wrote, oh, hey, at Minority Corner, great episode with a great interview this week.
Ooh, that's talking about our interview last week with filmmaker Brian Benson, who was here promoting Dolores Huerta, the Dolores Huerta documentary, Dolores, which is coming out in theater September 1st. Mm. I thought the interview was great, too. I thought
excellent.
It was, like, one of my favorites. Like, he just came on and did a corner.
So good. And, like, do not let that interview stop. Don't be like, oh, I've heard enough about Dolores. Go see the movie.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I am looking forward to it, although I might be out of the country when it is airing. But, yeah.
You'll be back and you can see it.
And if you're coming to Max FunCon this Friday.
Max FunCon East.
East. Oh, yeah. West already happened. I will be there. So come say hi to me.
Yes. Say hi to James. He's going to be there.
I'll be wearing American flag glasses. And I'm teaching a class about how to pee with your art. That's to provoke, enlighten, and entertain.
Check that
out. We're going to create some activist theater. So just, you know, doing what Aneke talked about, but in theater form.
I love it. It's utilizing your gifts.
Yeah.
So
you make millions of dollars later.
As we said before, we're on Minority Corner on Twitter.
Yes, we are.
We have a Facebook page, Minority Corner with a K. And yes, we have the Minority Corner Playground.
There she goes, okay, saying it all kinds of correct. I see you. And be sure to please share the episode. We are growing, and it helps you grow us. You do it. So mm-hmm. If you like this episode, you think it would be great for someone, share it out to them. And also, just one little addendum. I just read this article. Poppers might cause blindness. So be careful.
Be careful with poppers, you, guys. Party safely.
Those of you who... or have sex safely, or whatever you're using your poppers for.
Okay.
That's what I'll do a whole episode about. Do you know what poppers are?
Yes, I do. I'm not that old.
Well, be careful. And DIY enthusiasts are also making poppers at home. It's dangerous.
Oh my God.
They sometimes explode in your face. So be careful.
Be careful. Poppers are. Also, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. And thanks for listening.
Welcome. Thank you for listening. And come back next week for more sexy fun.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at maxfunstore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com, because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Okay. That's what the power of editing. All this shit gonna be cut. This ain't gonna be in there. This ain't gonna be in there. But you know, also what I...
Because I thought...